Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Sports Ethos NBA DFS Today podcast. It's your boy Ramiz, and we're going to be talking about a seven-game slate. This one, we got some interesting matchups. Of course, it might be the game. It might be featuring, actually, pardon me, the game where Pascal Siakam debuts for the Indiana Pacers. Of course, that is still questionable. But let's drive straight into it. I guess we'll be doing it by positions. But before we get into that, I guess let me give you some notes on the Bet365 over-unders. Of course, the highest over-under game predicted by Bet365 is Spurs Hornets at 236.5. And close to that is the Suns and Pelicans at 235.5. On top of that, the lowest one seems to be the Philadelphia Sixers versus Orlando Magic at 222.5. Seems like a defensive matchup, I guess. And yeah, none of them are really out too much, like in terms of 240 or anything like that. Of course, like I said, Indiana Pacers are still waiting on, I guess, Pascal Siakam if he's going to suit up that game, because there is no over-under for that, which usually Indiana Pacers are usually the team that have over 240 over-under predictions. In terms of injuries, Anthony Davis, Trae Young, and LeBron James are all questionable, but I feel like they're most likely going to play. Of course, it continues to injuries of Tyrese Haliburton. Victor Wembanyama is ruled out for the Friday matchup against the Charlotte Hornets, which is an interesting take that we will talk about in a future situation in this upcoming podcast. In this podcast, Pascal Siakam is out, but this is, I think it'll be bad. It'll be become questionable because I think Indiana do play today, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, they're playing currently right now against the Kings. So, I guess right now he is out, but I think for tomorrow it's going to be questionable. Franz Wagner is still out. Mikal Bridges is questionable too, but most likely he'll play, I think. DeAndre Ayton should return. Of course, he missed last game due to the blockage outside of the, I guess the weather was really bad. And then you got Jaime Jaquez still, I think, doubtful to return against Atlanta. Gordon Hayward, DeAnthony Melton, Mark Williams, Andrew Nembhard, Shaden Sharp, all out. Aaron Gordon is questionable alongside Zach Collins. And then you got on the lower side against Brandon Miller and Nick Richards, questionable as well. But without further ado, let's go straight into the point guard position. And I'll just have to give you a rundown for this whole slate. I don't think there's a lot of high tier guys that I would go for. In this position, I did go for one of them, and that is LaMelo Ball at 8,800. In terms of matchup, in terms of the competition, and well, just him being back into his groove, I think this is a great pickup to go for. I think he's been averaging close to 50 DK fantasy points in the past six games. And with no Victor Wembanyama, I mean, that means there's less paint protection, less rim protection in the paint, allowing LaMelo to just probably have more freedom to do his thing. He is, I think, the most expensive player on my slate. like I said, I didn't go for a lot of high-end players. I found the mid-tier and like the mid-to-high expensive tier the best area. But yeah, LaMelo 8,800 was one of my favorite players of this slate. Also more appealing compared to the other point guards. Of course, his position is always stacked. But with Trae Young being a bit too expensive, Devin Booker is always a nice pickup. But of course, with that case, KD, Beal, all healthy, it might be a bit more spread out now. And then Tyrese Maxey, I think in that Orlando matchup, is going to be, has a chance to be more limited. So I think I like LaMelo with the more safer option compared to Maxey and so therefore I decided to go for him. Mid-tier area, I went for Tejan McConnell at 5,900 because whether Pascal plays or not, there's one thing for certain is that Tyrese Haliburton still is going to be out. Therefore, Tejan McConnell will start at 5,900. And I think even right now, I think Indiana Pacers did have a few questionable players. I don't know how many of them played tonight. So that is going to be interesting to see. But I think majority of them did play. But in general, I think TJ McConnell has a lot more responsibility, especially because Bruce Brown, they did lose. And he did handle some playmaking duties for the Indiana Pacers. And so I think with him gone, TJ McConnell and Andrew Nembhard are probably legitimately the only playmakers I want to say on the team. So I think TJ McConnell at 5,900 is a pretty good price, especially considering they are going against, I believe it's Portland Trailblazers. So overall, they should be able to still kind of do their thing and have a pretty good performance, if not make it at least a game that goes end-to-end, wire-to-wire. Therefore, TJ McConnell could be involved for a good portion. A bit cheaper than that is on the Portland side of things, and that's Malcolm Brogdon for $5,400. This is a player who, honestly, I just really like the upside potential in this pick. Because, of course, Shaedon Sharpe is still out. Therefore, the starting lineup has been, Scoot Henderson and Anfernee Simmons. And sometimes Scoot can have these awful games. Of course, there's games where he has his amazing performances. But there are some games where he struggles, and Malcolm Brogdon does play more minutes than him. So I think at $5,400 is a safe price to go for because, I mean, if he gets like 30 DK fantasy points, which he's really capable of doing, then you've gotten your money's worth, and there's a good chance you could even get more, right? At $5,400 is a really, really cheap price in my opinion. And he's a guy who I believe also has dual eligibility, so you can fit him at the point guard or shooting guard spot as well. And then lastly, my budget pick. I like this pick a lot. I'm surprised he's this low. It's Malachi Branham at $3,400. Another player with dual eligibility can play the one or two. And this is simply a player who I've noticed that he's been involved in the rotation. I think he was injured for a bit, so he's come back. But with Victor out, I mean, he may get more shots, I mean, up, and maybe, I don't know, has much more minutes because this game against Charlotte, they definitely will be opportunity to have a close game. And, of course, if Malachi Branham gets it going, I think he might get those chunk of minutes maybe over a Trey Jones or a Julian Champagne. So at $3,400, it's a really, really good price in my opinion. It allows you to go for the higher end players, so a Jokic or Embiid, if you want to go for one of those guys. And then we got the shooting guard spot. I guess I'm going for another guy who's dual eligible for point guard and shooting guard, and that's Anfernee Simmons at $7,800. Reason for going behind this pick because, of course, he has had some games where he struggled, but he is coming off a game winner, so maybe that gets him back on track. He's been averaging, I think, 25 DK fantasy points. I don't think the ownership will be there. However, I think the competition-wise, I mean, I don't think Indiana has the defenders to really guard him. I don't think if Pascal plays, it plays a factor in having in Anfernee Simmons having a good game or not. But the main thing that draws me out is that his home and away splits are just complete different. I mean, it's 11 DK fantasy points different. At home games, he gets 42 DK fantasy points away. He has 31. So I think as long as he can get him back to form, and at $7,800, I think he is a really good price, especially for the upside he can possibly get. Like I said, he's had rough games, but in these past two games at home, he's averaged 37 DK fantasy points among the two. So I think it's very well in reach for him to have another great night against this Indiana team, which allows a lot of points. I guess another, because I'm not going too high expensive, I am mentioning a bit more in this range, and that's Bradley Beal at $7,400. Another one of my players I like because I think his upside is much bigger than the value is being named. He's kind of come back and he's been, I want to say, consistently playing games, which is good to see. Because of course there was times where he was playing and then he would miss games and then he would get re-injured or whatever the case may be. But he's been getting a good run of minutes in finally. And he's been getting minutes. I mean, he's getting 38 minutes against Sacramento last game, 37 the game before that. I'm like, he's clearly playing, and he'll have these games where he can go off. I think everyone remembers that game against the Lakers where he had 37 points, which had him around 55 DK fantasy points. So I think as long as he can keep a similar rate, I think the reason you go for this type of pick is the upside. Another one of those players who splits is, I mean, not his splits, his last five games averages haven't been that high, but going against this New Orleans Pelicans team, I think because, as usual, the attention goes to a Devin Booker or to a KD, Beal has advantage to always have the game where he's the one who takes off. And at $7,400, I just really like that price. Mid-tier area, I guess I didn't really go for a mid-tier player. I don't think there was any attractive option in there. But I guess low to mid-tier area, I went for Trey Murphy III at $5,200. Just another player who I just really like at this price. I think he's also one of those players who I don't believe will have a lot of ownership due to his recent struggles. But we all know Trey Murphy III is one player who's capable of having those games that really show an impact and really help Pelicans actually win those games because he can always shoot lights off sometimes. So at $5,200, I think it's a really good price to go for, especially when you go for these mid-tier guys. And then a bit cheaper than that, another low ownership guy that I'm going for is Eric Gordon, 4,400. I'm convinced not a lot of people are going to go for this. This is why I kind of like this pick, because Grayson Allen is coming off that amazing game, but it was a bit. It's a game where I think many will lean towards Grayson Allen having another great game, but I think Eric Gordon at 4,400 is much cheaper, and I don't think Grayson Allen is set in stone and just having a good chunk of the minutes, because I think if Eric Gordon has a stronger start, I think he gets those chunk of minutes, and at 4,400 is a much cheaper price, and I guess he's also one of the players I think who has the same upside as Grayson Allen. But before we move on to small forwards, I do want to mention the NBA Fantasy Pass that you can get for $6 per month. This is simply a pass where you get daily streams, recaps of the top lines of every night, and you get Discord access to the pros. This is a package if you which obviously just resides towards the NBA, but we also have the All Sport package available, which is $8, which not only includes the NBA, but includes NFL and MLB. So all three major sports into one package. I mean, I don't think you're going to get a better deal than that. Small forward wise, similar approach. Of course, LeBron and Tatum are really expensive. And Tatum was a tempting guy to go for 9,700. I think if you can fit him into your slate, he would be one of my guys. But I decided to go for someone who was like 2,100 cheaper, I want to say. And that's Jimmy Butler at 7,600. This is a player who I went for on one of my slates on Wednesday against the Raptors. But of course, they had an abysmal performance. So I'm thinking a game that you're going to have to really bounce back, especially because you're playing back at home. Because there's no way Eric Spoelstra did not rip this team up for scoring only 97 points against a team that just traded their star player. So I think this game will be much more aggressive in terms of getting the win and actually putting an effort. So I think Jimmy Butler will kind of have that game where he kind of goes off and he draws fouls. And especially because the opponent is the Atlanta Hawks. And I think the Atlanta Hawks aren't really known for a defensive team. I think he will continuously be able to draw fouls against the likes of a Jalen Johnson, I think, and the Onyeka Okongwu, the younger guys of the bunch. So I think at 7,600, he's a price that I really like, because once again, I'm gonna go for the same that I've been saying all time, throughout this whole podcast, and that's just the upside. I mean, 7,600 for a guy who you know is really well capable of going for over 50, especially at home and especially against the Atlanta Hawks, especially because of the urgency, because that game was abysmal. Now, I'm a Raptor fan, so I enjoyed it a lot, but horrible if you're a Heat fan. Mid-tier area, I went for my player who I think is going to strive with the absence of Victor Wembanyama, and that's Keldon Johnson, 6,400. Obviously, with Victor Wembanyama out, that means just like what, 15 to 16 shots available. And it comes down to two individuals in my head, and I think it's Keldon Johnson, Devin Vassell taking the majority of them. Of course, Keldon Johnson is one of those risky picks because everyone knows Keldon Johnson's the definition of hot or cold. Because, yeah, some games he'll have that hot knife, some games he'll have that cold stretch. Of course, in this past four games, three out of the four games, he's had 16 and under. And the one rare game against Chicago, he had 41 DK fantasy points. So I think in this matchup against Charlotte, with no Victor Wembanyama, I think he will definitely get that opportunity to have that great night. And I think he probably will start in the absence of Victor Wembanyama, or maybe, I believe he should, unless they go with a different lineup and maybe just replace Victor Wembanyama with the center and that's it. He still comes off the bench. But I still think that he will play a huge role. Also due to the fact that with Charlotte's case, Mark Williams still out. Nick Richards is actually questionable too, like I mentioned. So therefore, he might not play. Therefore, you're talking about the backup Charlotte Hornets big man. And Keldon Johnson as a slasher probably might have the opportunity to just feast and just do his thing. And then lastly but not least, my budget pick, another New Orleans pick, and that's Herb Jones at 5,000. One of the players who I kind of like in this slate. I usually don't go for Herb Jones because of he's not really a scorer, but against his Suns team, I think he has a much bigger role to play in terms of guarding, whether it's a Booker or whether it's a Beal or whether it's a Kevin Durant. So I think in this matchup, in this matchup, I think Herb Jones does have a great chance of having that great game where not only does he get you a few buckets, I guess corner threes, or just getting you some easy backdoor cuts, some solid rebounds, a couple assists, hopefully, but of course getting some stocks, because I think the opportunity will be there, because he is their best defender, and he will probably be needed to play to guard these individuals. Moving on to power forward, did I say that was the last New Orleans pick? Because if I did, that's completely incorrect, because I'm going for Zion at 7,500. Zion, another player in the mid 7,000, 8,000 range, and another player who I think in this matchup could really flourish. I think in the past game, he had a solid game against, the Charlotte Hornets. With around 38 defensive points in 27 minutes on 11 shots too, but we all know he's very well capable of doing better than that. So against this team, against Phoenix, where it is gonna be a tougher match, but it also might be a blessing in hindsight, because that means maybe it's more competitive and maybe he plays more than 27 minutes. And I think with Nurkic, or is it Drew Eubanks or Chimezi Metu, I think Zion Williamson should be able to continuously attack the paint. Pardon me, with ease, especially because they don't really have a matchup for him, or at least a physical one. Of course, I think Nurkic is the only one who could probably give him trouble on the drives, but even then, if he lets Zion get too much momentum, I think he will take advantage. And especially because New Orleans has been struggling. I mean, they've been kind of that team that's been winning and then losing. So I think Zion should be having that urgency to play better. I mean, they've come out with the blowout win against Charlotte at home. I guess he's starting a home stretch for them. So this game against Phoenix is just as important. I think Phoenix has these vulnerabilities, so Zion Williams should be able to capitalize in this game. Mid-tier pick, I decided to go with Cam Johnson. Cameron Johnson, of course, for the Brooklyn Nets at 5,900. Player based off his opponent, actually, because the Lakers, if we're one thing that we know about them, they let a lot of threes open. And I think Cam Johnson should be able to just flourish and just able to get some easy shots off against this Lakers team, which struggles with holding these players to bad games. But of course, he's also in that price range where, of course, if the Lakers, you know, do their defensive thing that they always capable of doing, he's still not too much of a price where you feel like you're spending too much or you're losing out on other players. I think he's 59 is a really good price tag for him. Therefore, he's a player who, once again, like my tagline, the upside is going to be there at 5,900. And last but not least, spoke about one side. Let's speak about the other on the Lakers side, and that's Jared Vanderbilt at 3,500. Jared Vanderbilt, it was between him and Rui Hachimura. Rui Hachimura, I actually wouldn't be a bad pick either at 4,300. But I decided to go with Jared Vanderbilt because he's 800 cheaper and he's been achieving better results. I think he's been averaging like 18 to 20 DK fantasy points in the past six games, which is good to see. Of course, he's not doing it based off scoring, but he obviously can get some easy buckets, but it's a few rebounds and a couple of maybe one or two stocks, which is really just get him to that area. I think he's also been healthy, which is good to see. And because this Lakers team has been struggling, Darvin Ham has been experimenting a lot, and Jared Vanderbilt has been continuously playing, which is what you like to see. Last but not least, the center position. And before we go into this one, I want to mention the DFS pass, which you can get for $5 per month. With this pass, you get the DFS delivery, you get the pick-ems daily from Thrive Fantasy, and you get Discord access as well. This is another one of those packages where I think this one, the difference comes down to the Thrive Fantasy picks, which honestly is one of my favorite things to do. Of course, I think it's $5 such an appropriate price too. And this is one where, like with the NBA Fantasy Pass, you can win some big money. On to the center rotation. And this is not going to excite a lot of people, but I didn't really go for anyone high. I mean, I did think about the fact that maybe it's just that Jokic and Embiid are really expensive, man. I guess Anthony Davis is someone you want to look towards if you want to build a superstar, but he wasn't really my favorite pick. That's why I didn't name him. But if you were looking for a superstar to build your slate around, I think Anthony Davis might be the guy to go for. Nicholas Claxton is a great defender, but Anthony Davis is taller and he's more physical. so he'll still be able to get his way. But where I liked my area here was the low to mid tier area. Starting off with Duo Reith. Hopefully I'm not pronouncing his name wrong, but he's been a player who's just been absolutely amazing at the center position. I don't even think he's that tall, but he's been like having games where he gets around 30 defense points. Sometimes he'll get around 20. And of course, with DeAndre Ayton back, you do wonder if he's going to get the same amount of minutes, but I generally think he could still get like 20 plus minutes easily. And just kind of just do what he's been doing, which has been like scoring like double digit points, getting you like 7-8 rebounds. Of course, because Anfernee Simmons has been able to find him, and he's also been scoring the three at a pretty good, decent rate. I think it's like 33%, 36% from three, which is honestly really solid. So if he can just continuously keep his averages up, especially in this matchup, where I don't know if the Portland's in case, like how much they're going to try to win. So I think Duo Reith will still have the opportunity to just have a great game. But in the budget side of things, I got two players who I really liked, and that's starting off with Dominic Barlow, another player who I hope I'm not mispronouncing, but he's the Spurs center, and I think with Victor Wembanyama out, I think he should be able to get more minutes than usual, and he has been striving with the minutes he's been getting. He's been averaging like around 20 DK fantasy points, in some cases been getting points and then getting a few rebounds and a couple assists. Nothing too crazy, but at 4,300 is a solid price, especially because he's been averaging like 20 minutes. So if he can get over 25 or maybe even 30 minutes if we're lucky, then you can expect a solid performance, because I think his only competition will come down to Zach Collins, who I think is actually questionable, so he might not even play. And Charles Bassey is out, so I think he's essentially the only center forward at Spurs who would like you would expect to play a lot of minutes anyways. And at the same price of 4,300, decided to go for Onyeka Okongwu. And this is a player who, honestly, it's kind of a bit of a situational pick, mainly due to the fact that Clint Capela is healthy. So maybe not a lot of players go for him. His ownership might be low. But I think in terms of matchup, he might match up better against a Bam Adebayo. I mean, of course, I think Atlanta, we don't know if they're trying to tank or they're still trying to win, but I mean, I say that, but they did win that last game against the Orlando Magic. But I think Okongwu matches up better against these more mobile bigs than a Clint Capela would. And I think slowly but surely they are trying to make Okongwu that main center. So at 4,300, it is a low price. And of course, the matchup doesn't suit him in terms of scoring. But with the point guards like DeJounte Murray and Trae Young, you can still expect him to have these games where he could possibly go for a 28 DK fantasy point game or 25, something along the lines of that. And if you're lucky and Clint Capela doesn't play or struggles a lot, maybe even hit that 30 minute mark and hopefully get over 30 DK fantasy points. And that about wraps up my position picks for this slate. Of course, I usually try to give you guys a high tier, mid tier, low tier picks, but I didn't give you those high tier picks, I want to say. But of course, in the 7-game slate, like I said, I don't think I found a lot of them appealing. And of course, a lot of my picks went down to the tagline that they have upside, right? So I hope you guys enjoyed. If you want, you can find me on Twitter at TooNice, well, TO0_Nice_, and we can talk about how my picks were right about tomorrow. And then, you know, you can hit me up a follow, and then, you know, I'll make sure you follow Sports Ethos as well. But I hope you guys enjoyed listening to this podcast. As always, have a great day. Or a good night, and I'm gonna catch you guys later, and hopefully you guys win some big money. Goodbye.